Good morning, Steve.
Morning.
Welcome to Evolving Habit App. We usually ask this question before we get off. What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living?
Yeah.
Well, I am actually in the 46th year of working as an architect and an interior designer. And I am as passionate about it now as I have ever been. I've been with one company since I got out of school.
Okay.
And that's TVS, and based here in Atlanta. And it's enabled me to work around the world.
So I believe this journey started in 1978?
78, yes.
Can you briefly walk us through that?
Yeah, I did my undergraduate at Georgia Tech, Georgia okay. Institute of Technology here in Atlanta. Then I went to graduate school at the University of Illinois.
Okay.
In Champaign-Urbana, and then while I was there, I also did a semester in San Francisco at the San Francisco Center for Architecture and Urban Studies.
Okay.
And interesting, this was 1978. We were in an economic recession. There was very few jobs available around the country. Anybody that graduated in 77 had a hard time getting a job. So in 1978, things started improving. I actually wanted to go to San Francisco, to California. Fell in love with that, but there was no work to be had. And so in graduate school, I applied to several firms and got multiple job offers, interestingly, and then settled on TVS. And I've been here since.
And has TVS always been in Atlanta or?
TVS is, its home base has always been Atlanta.
Okay.
The firm was established in 1968. Three principals, Bill Thompson, Tom Vinchelette, and Ray Steinbeck. And so they organized the firm with aspirations of just doing great work. And so I came on, and my degree is in architecture, Master of Architecture. And so I started architecture for many projects. In fact, this building I mentioned to you, I was on as one of the junior architects in 1981.
Okay.
So a large part of this building was hand-drawn by me, you know, and
still looks beautiful.
Three other colleagues. And it was a rapid build, you know, that was one that was designed and built in 18 months. Nobody does that today.
That's
400,000 square feet, you know, so it's pretty incredible. But so I did architecture for 12 years.
Okay.
Purely architecture. And I was doing a variety of different building types. I did retail, I did office space, I did convention center work and the like. And during the course of that, I also got pretty agile at doing interior architectural spaces. And so with success, I had recommendations from the senior design leadership, Tom Vinchelette in particular, you know, you ought to contemplate doing interior work as well. So I actually got involved on a project, a real high profile project. It went amazingly well. It had high accolades and high regards, and you know, I was pretty excited about that.
Okay.
So I got into, decided to pursue almost a change of direction.
Correct.
And so the very first project I volunteered to do our office design, which was in the building we just moved out of, a building next door, we were there for over 30 years in that space.
Okay.
And interestingly, that office, that design, that project was the first national design award the firm ever got.
Wow.
So it kind of gave me a lot of confidence to move forward in that direction. But fortunately, I've had the ability and agility to work on all types of projects. And so we've been able to kind of tailor select the type of work that we want to do. It's also given me the diversity of experience on different building types and different architecture and interior types that really made it perfect. Really super perfect to do the Geo World Center.
So,
because I was well versed in every aspect of that property.
I see. So do you prefer doing architecture or interior design? If you had to pick one?
I actually liken, I kind of refer to as doing interior architecture because I'm doing both things. Okay. I have a great sensibility to composition, understanding the architectural enclosure, you know, site environment, as well as the interior space making.
Okay.
And yeah, so for me, honestly, that I think what has kept my passion high is that there are opportunities and challenges everywhere. And I've always enjoyed, you know, big ideas, creating big ideas, big strokes, and also I love doing fine details, developing the smallest things.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I believe you've made over 100 conventional centers.
Well, not me personally, but yeah. Collectively our firm, this has really been one of the foundational core business models. You guys were just in the World Congress Center.
Yeah.
That you were in Hall B. Hall B was the very first project I ever worked on as far as kind of master planning. We had already done A. It was actually a landmark project for the firm. Almost an innovative solution to composition of meeting space versus an exhibit hall, very large in scale. It set us in motion to do a lot of big work.
It still looks beautiful.
Yeah, well, and it's that whole experience. Some of my colleagues are still working here that, you know, the design, that whole walkway and the gardens and the water features and everything that were through there. It was really, it's very special. But that set in motion, you know, a strength of capabilities for us at doing public space that has led us to do these convention centers around the world.
So let's dive right into your most recent one in Mumbai, which is the Neeta Mukesh Ambani Cultural Center and the Jio Conventional Center.
Mm-hmm.
How is making that into a structure that's larger than life, I would say?
Well, you've got to understand a little of the history
okay.
of this thing. We were, first off, we learned about this project indirectly through another consultant.
Okay.
The project had already been, they were searching for someone to do convention centers, even though we had probably one of the best resumes of convention centers of anybody in the world. We didn't get on the list, or they didn't find us on the internet, let's say.
Okay.
And so one of our friends out in Austin, Texas, who is a an acoustical consultant, BAI, they gave us a heads up that they were somebody, Reliance, was interested in a convention center designer. And it was very interesting because the notice that had been put out about doing that project was super simple. Kind of like, do you like to design? You know, would you like to do a convention center? You know, and very basic. And so we took the liberty of kind of reaching out, contacted someone. I believe that they had already initially selected someone that they were deliberating with.
Okay.
And we made arrangements, got the program, did a conceptual thought, you know, strategy on it. And then one of my dear colleagues that unfortunately recently passed away, who worked on this project from its inception, flew over there, met with the team, and we were selected that day.
That's great.
And that was in 2006. And so that project was, although it was a convention center, it had some other obligations because of the location in BKC, Bandra Kurla Complex, yeah. And also criteria by the MMRDA that set a larger program. And so we started, and one of the reasons that we were selected was because of the diversity of capabilities our firm had. We were strong in convention centers, cultural arts, retail, you know, office space, you know, all the different parts and pieces that made up this kind of facility. And the initial design was not all, it was on the same piece of property, but it wasn't all in one single building mass.
I see.
It actually had like three different buildings. The theater was a freestanding building, the headquarters was a building, and then you had the office, I mean the convention center and the retail all in another building.
And now it's all merged into one?
Yeah, but what happened is in 2006, okay. Well, we worked on this design to 2008. We made numerous meetings with Mukesh and Neeta Ambani, and on the initial design of that work.
If and I that, may ask, how was it working with them?
It's been, well, I'll say this early on in this interview. This project is the highlight of my career.
Really?
It has just been the most, it's the longest duration of any project I've ever worked on, of course, okay. But you know, it is so, it's so dynamic. It's such an extraordinary collection of people. I have thoroughly enjoyed my experience in India and the people I've come to know and have become best friends with. And so it really is, it's been a very rewarding, you know, kind of experience. But back to the project, we went to 2008, everything stopped.
Okay.
And it just, the world stopped with the economic Christ. Times that we had there. And so the project, in fact, we dug a hole, a 6-story hole, you know, and on that site, and it filled up with water with the monsoons. And so it was the BKC Lake for several years. And in fact, one of my favorite stories is when someone had gone to Trident Hotel, and shortly after we had drained the lake, but and started a new 2012, but they said, we want a room overlooking the lake. And they said, well, there is no lake. And I said, yeah, there was, it was here the last time we were there, you know. So, but then in 2012, we regrouped, and then the project became what it is, one big, gigantic, magnificent project.
That's interesting. Well, getting into the design part of it, from a layman's point of view, I'm just awestruck with the magnanimity, the lights, the surfaces that you've used there. Can you take us through the selection process? And how long?
Well, I would say it's important to note is that, you know, normally when we do similar kind of projects, very often we try to bring some degree of regionalism to a design. In other words, that the building has a place.
Okay.
You know, it's exclusive to that location. You know, so you have to kind of build a thought concept behind your design direction to set the character. This one was quite a challenge. It's in another country. It's probably one of the richest decorative countries in the world. You know, the level of craft and decorative patterning and color and richness and luxury of detail is quite amazing. And, you know, you see it all over the U.S., you see it around the world, it's so distributed.
Yeah.
So we had to do a fair amount of research. You know, here's a firm that we're not Indian. We've never done any work over there. So we did a considerable amount of work to kind of investigate, you know, the design. And if you know anything about the process working with Mrs. Ambani, you know, one idea isn't enough, you know. And in fact, during the course of this project, the ideas have evolved and changed and become enriched, you know, over time. You learn her personal style, and she's such a global traveler herself, her style edits all the time as well. So kind of running, you know, keeping in pace with that and being agile to change really was critical. And so she has been a great educator of, you know, design and style. You know, we learned about Indian dance and its influence and its shape making and hand forms, you know, and how things start to, and it starts to influence the shape making that we did on the design.
Correct.
You know, and the pattern reach. And one of the things that I think was probably one of my favorite things that still has stood the test of the project is that we had to come up with a base concept. How do you take a convention center, you know, and with exhibit halls and merge that with a performing arts hall and merge that with retail and merge that with an office building, all these other things, you know, and come up with some kind of continuity of imagery, but with some priority too. So one of our staff came up with the concept of the Indian necklace. So Indian necklace is robust and rich and articulate as it is with different gems and different linkages to different parts. And then oftentimes with a very substantial pendant, you know, at the very, very end of this thing that really defines the signature of the piece. So we liken that to the different spaces co-linked together with the theater, the grand theater,
being
the pendant. And the my favorite all-time presentation was I was presenting this to Mrs. Zambani, and we prepared to talk about it just like I just told you. And before I could say, and the pendant, she said, the theater will be the pendant. And so you knew right then that she bought into the whole idea, embraced it, you know, and it gave us our launch, right? But it also started to feed the confidence in being able to elevate the character. The other special thing was that the signature of the facade of the NMACC. It went through quite an evolution as well. And she wanted a signature. She wanted a signature that would be the postcard moment, the Instagram moment, the recognition of India as a cultural icon, you know, for the front door.
I strongly believe it's become that.
Yeah, well, it has. And but it didn't start out that way. And it didn't, and in fact, in 2000, I don't know, maybe it was 2015, you know, it was almost finished. And two things happened. You know, we were asked to add some other features onto the building.
Okay.
And thus we added the two big pedals that sit over the top of this thing.
Yeah.
And we had that accomplished and had it built. And then we had a request, well, how can we add some more restaurants? So here we are. This was the story of this project. It kept evolving. It's still evolving. There's still stuff left to be done. And so we lifted those things, a whole nother story, the pedals. And then the next thing happens, like, well, we would like an art house. And so we had already finished one corner of the building, and so we ripped it apart and we added the art house. And then we added the restaurant around the plaza. And so all of this thing has been an evolution development. And so I think our success has been, one, our willingness to advance these edits, and two, our agility to be creative and to be impassioned about it and bring ideas to the table. And so over time, she and I have had amazing conversations, and they're inspiring.
That's great to hear.
And you do your best work for clients that appreciate your efforts, who inspire you.
That's great to hear. While talking about the interiors of this conventional center, was it difficult to bring the Indian culture out from the interiors?
No, actually, that was the easy part.
Really?
Because back to this whole research, you know, the language and the depth of, there is something that comes to mind, is that there is a lot of, you know, with India being as big as it is, and it's multicultural within the country. You know, and it's got a lot of, it's got Arabic influences, it's got other influences around the country. You know, Maharashtra has its own style, you know, other aspects of the country have their own style. And so that became, as we've kind of dialed in and created multiple texture and pattern offerings, I can't tell you how many jollies we've designed. I didn't even know what a jolly was until we started this job. And I probably have hundreds of designs now. But through that course, we were able to hone in on a more specific style. Anything that was hard geometric, angular geometric, Mrs. Zambani did not want. You know, she wanted to be more specific to the Maharashtra, you know, kind of style, the dance fluid, you know, elements. And so from that, we, if you'll see the patterns and thought development that is in that space, we were able to pick up on that and extend that into three-dimensional solutions. And I think that's another thing that we have done well, is understand scale. You know, and so it's not just it's not an applied design, it's a three-dimensional shape-making design of form.
I see. From what I've heard, rather, they're really selective with the kind of stone they use in all their structures. The Zambani family, how is it sourcing for them?
I mean, they've got a history of stone as you know, from as far back as you can think. And so I think there's an appreciation for it. I think also the fact the climate, you know, in an area that's tropical and monsoon, you know, it's not about putting carpet everywhere, you know. So stone was very much an important part of the quality performance and operational maintenance of a building. So you can rationalize using great materials in a way. And we had never had a facility, and mind you, we didn't say anything about this, but it's a 7.5 million square foot project. There's few projects in the world in one building that's 7.5 million square feet.
That's huge.
So when we start looking at how do you use stone, you know, clearly we knew that we were going to clad the exterior of the building predominantly in stone, but the interiors gave a whole nother opportunity, you know, on vertical surfaces and horizontal surfaces and three-dimensional design. I was very intrigued with our experiences in India and also their technical capabilities. I don't remember how many thousands of blocks of white marble statuary, statuario,
yeah,
that came out of Italy that we brought to Silvassa and laminated to granite and cut it in half and doubled the yield. And then the other thing that part of our design responsibility was the aesthetic compositional management of all of that. Everything was dry laid, you know, in that project. So it was, it was a fantastic, you know, use and application and enabling, you know, and nobody challenged us about using stone. It was an expectation to use stone.
I see. Well, the creativity and hard work shows off.
Yeah.
Talking a bit more about yourself, I believe you've got over 120 awards and you've become this mentor sort of figure for upcoming designers and architects. How do you go about approaching that challenge?
Well, I think awards are the product of success. I mean, we don't go after awards. We go after the opportunities to do great work.
Okay.
And great work, you know, if you've got the chemistry with a client, you know, and you've got the opportunity to do something really inspiring and creative and dimensional, you know, it has a good chance of having access to an award. Now, of course, you got to pitch it, compose it, and get it out there for people to see. But it's been the reward of doing great work. So, like I said, it's not our plan, but we're not shy about putting it out there for people to be aware of, and we've been very fortunate.
That's great. But what's mentoring like, and what do you think should change in the architectural educational space to help people adapt to the challenges of the future?
Well, I think regarding mentoring, it's really about engaging your staff in particular to see things three-dimensional, be curious, be willing to be adventuresome, not to just sit behind the computer or sit behind the desk, but actually experience life, you know, to a project. Take them with you. You know, make sure they get exposed to the big things. Collaborate with them. It's not, you know, because I'll be honest, you know, at this place in my career, one of the biggest responsibilities I have is guiding them and preparing them for their future and then helping them appreciate the same kind of, you know, limelight or experiences I've had. You know, so you're counseling and guiding and enabling them, putting them in a position to be upfront. You know, that's really important. The other is that we've had a bizarre kind of change that has come through social media and communication, and that's Pinterest. It's pretty fantastic, but it is not the design solution. There's so many people that go make their Pinterest board and then they copy the work. Pinterest should be an inspiration. It's an access to other things that you might not normally get to see, but it's an inspiration. It's not the solution, because solutions, each project is its own challenge, you know. And so how do you interpret things, and you know, how do you bring your own thoughts to the table and your own composition? So it's kind of a responsibility to keep people centered and directed at the same time and recognize that our challenge is to be unique. You don't have to be on a bleeding edge to do things. You just have to do good things great.
That's great to hear. So where do you draw your inspiration from? And how do you instill that creativity within your team?
I've always loved traveling. One of the highlights for me, and forever will be, is I'm actually from Alaska.
Okay.
You know, I've lived my entire life in the South, but I'm actually from Alaska, and we actually have a summer home. So I go every year, you know, in July and August when it's just hot and miserable here, when it's like May in India, you know?
Yeah.
And we go up there, and so I really kind of get a chance to live in nature and fly fish and other kind of outdoor activities.
Yeah.
And it clears your head, you know, and kind of separates from the built environment that you're kind of designing in all the time. Also that, you know, through, you know, because we've had the opportunity to explore the world, you know, we had an office in Dubai for a while. We've had an office in Shanghai. I've done work in China and the Middle East and South America and the like. And so everywhere you go, not only do you get to know new people, and there's great people everywhere, but you get cultures. And those things, at some point in time, they start to, you gather, you collect all this information that you don't know where it's going to apply to the next opportunity that you have. But it is totally inspiring. And it's like, you know, here I am. If you did the math, you know, I'm about to turn 70 next week. You know, for most people that have been in a corporate world, they're done.
Yeah.
They're out. They're doing other things. I'm not ready to be done. I mean, I'm still stimulated by relationships with clients and creative opportunities and unique projects, you know, and so I don't know what's next. And that's kind of like the beauty of surprise.
Do you see yourself ever retiring?
My wife doesn't, you know, and I don't know. In part, but I mean, I'm going to stay connected for some time.
We can't wait to see your next structure. But do you think designs change your perspective on life?
Well, I believe that I've been fortunate to be involved in design for my life. You know, it's like I can't imagine being in another profession. You know, it is creating, you know, physical space, you know, architecture and interiors and in a cultural global community and sharing it with others and seeing how people interact in something you've done. I don't know what else I would have done. You know, I don't think I would have changed my path. I mean, the serendipitous changes that I've had have been extraordinary.
That's a great way to put it. While we're in this era of sustainability, do you believe someone else's trash can be your treasure?
I don't know all about that. I think it's not my passion to rescue trash, I have to say. But I do think we have done a lot of work where we have brought, you know, one of my favorite things is working with wood. I love the natural materials. And not only am I a capable carpenter and craftsman, which that is kind of foundational to how I got into architecture, loving to build things.
That's interesting.
You know, I've compared my notes to people that don't own screwdrivers over in India, you know, but, you know, for us, my friend Nick, you know, we both can use almost any, you know, power tool and things to work with, or hand tools and hand carving. So we understand that, and it helps us with the dialogue with others. But one of the things we've done in many cases is take material that has come from a site. Like, we'll go into projects and we'll select trees that need to be demoed from the site and harvest those, have them resawn, and bring them back and put them back into the building. You know, so it is like the ultimate in sustainability is kind of taking nature and celebrating it, you know, into a project. We've done that many, many times. And it's one of the superior solutions that you can see.
That's interesting to hear. While we're talking about carvings and architecture, what's your take on traditional Indian architecture?
Listen, I think you have to respect, you know, what I'm just, I have seen only a tiny bit, and I'm so in awe of the capabilities and the legacy of craft and multi-generations of capabilities. I mean, I was doing work in Mrs. Ambani's ballroom, and we had a apron screen in front of the little stage that's in her in the ballroom. And I sketched up a concept for a carved, hand-carved walnut screen. Sent the sketch over there, reviewed it, and during the course of the week that I was there, they came back with a full carved piece to demonstrate how we would do the rest of the project. Well, there is no way in the U.S. that you would ever have that happen. But there are people that that is their life work. You know, this is what they've done for generations. And so, and the stonework, my God, the stone, the hand cut, cut in inlay work over there is by far the most beautiful stuff I've ever seen. So I'm really in awe. And it also says, gosh, I could just about do anything I want over there.
So do you see a transition from the East to the West this time in terms of architecture?
Well, I think so. I think we're seeing it already. There's a lot of things that are kind of you're collecting. You're collecting these ideas that are that can transform. We have brought, you know, international style into India and India style into the project. The merger of those things are tremendous. And that was actually an aspirational goal that Mrs. Yeah. Ambani expressed on the project. She wanted something that had a very international point of view. It was progressive, it was singular, but it was foundational in an Indian style, you know, so that you knew that when you came to Jio World Center, you were in a very special place in the world, and it was a one of a kind.
That's great to hear. Well, I love asking this question to architects. What's your take on luxury in design? What's luxury going to you?
Well, I have to admit, you know, this has not been our core work. I think through the recognition or participation on this project, it became evident to me that there is another world of extravagance and luxury. I mean, there is markets that we attended in Paris, as an example, that everything is bespoke. Everything is, it's kind of a representation of what we can do, but it's not like off the shelf, we're going to make it special for you, and so you can do anything. And we certainly had that experience, you know, with Mrs. Ambani. And we've kind of seen, and you know, we've done, if you know the project, some of the custom work that we did with Swarovski.
Yeah.
Unbelievable work that we did with Swarovski that's one of a kind and on the planet. In the theater and the ceiling, the lotus ceiling, and some of the other detail work and the likes that we've done. You know, the custom work that we did with, you may have seen Cichus at the fair, you know, out of Ravenna, Italy.
Yeah.
And we've been over there several times and helped develop unique solutions. And so there's a great appreciation for that. I think some people are extravagant for extravagance sake, but I do believe that you can elevate a design to amazing levels. I look at the metalwork that we were able to do over on Jio World Center, you know, with, you know, metal coatings, you know, that give a sense of gold. We know that Mrs. Ambani likes gold and white, you know, we can go five solutions to her and it's going to default back to
gold and white,
to the core.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't challenge it. It looks fantastic. Every time you see it, you're in awe, you know.
It surely does.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back in time. Let's say you're amateur Steve. Do you see a stark contrast in the way you approach design and the way you design today from what you were back then?
Well, here's some of my foundation, and it hasn't changed. early on in my family life, you know, my dad instilled in me the curiosity and the pursuit of understanding how things are built. I mean, what it takes, the technical side as much as the aesthetic side. I'm impassioned on the technical, and I use it to once I understand a technical side, I can apply it to a creativity that I'm confident I can build. There's a lot of people that throw an idea out there hoping somebody will figure it out.
Yeah.
We don't build things we don't understand, you know, and that's kind of like kind of foundational to my teaching to my staff is understand it. And then you also have the power of confidence in the people you communicate with, you know, through that. So early on, you know, those were experiences that I had at the smallest level. And you learn it. The other thing about it is you'll run into architects who are elitist. You know, they feel like they're superior to a lot of other people. And yet I have learned so much from the smallest craftsmen in the field, observing how they do their work, having conversations with them. They're teaching me. They're teaching me, you know, how to do this work. And then I can take that knowledge and compound it, you know, into other things. And so I try to instill that in the younger people to be curious and investigative and technically savvy, you know, and merge that with your creativity.
Well, your personality does exude simplicity and calmness. Mm. Well, before we wrap up, as you know, the name Evolving Habitat, mm. where do you see our living spaces evolving towards the future? You see us moving to Mars? Hmm. Or are we going to live in a different kind of a house down the line?
Well, first off, we'll tackle Mars really quick. Why the hell we want to go to a red rock, you know, I have no idea. You know, we don't know what's out there collectively, but we have one of the richest environments to ever experience. I mean, the fact that I can go to some near pure environments into Alaska every year remind me and recenter me on what the core of the world is about. And we just need to do a better job of taking care of what we have and enabling people to have the opportunities, you know, that we've had and not destroy what we have. I do think that technology is we're really infants, you know, in the history of the world. And are we've got some rapid evolution going on here in technology that's enabling us to see things and build things in a different way. And we just need to, we must continue to be co-linked with our core Earth experience and evolve, you know, design and construction that's not destructive. And clean up our mess, you know, and do better jobs. And I think that's our focus. And why you want to go to a place and build a bubble and kind of bring Earth to a you know, to a barren environment.
Yeah.
You know, go find, if you're going to do something, find one that looks like, you know, feels like us.
That'd be a tough fight.
Yeah, I know. Well, it may happen.
Yeah.
But we got a lot to do in our own time.
Anyway, thank you, Steve. It was great having this conversation with you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thank you.